From the heart of the jungle comes a savage cry of victory. This is Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. From the black core of dark Africa, land of enchantment, mystery, and violence, comes one of the most colorful figures of all time, transcribed from the immortal pen of Edgar Rice Burroughs. Tarzan, the bronzed white son of the jungle. And now, in the very words of Mr. Burroughs, the story of the curse of the pharaohs.
Once Tarzan's curiosity had taken him to distant lands, to America, to England, to France. But in recent years, he had remained in the jungle that had been his birthplace and his home. And with each succeeding year, the veneer of culture grew less apparent, the deep core of savagery more pronounced. And Tarzan's friend, Captain Lawrence of the governmental police, worried about this change in Tarzan. He used every device at his command to bring the jungle man into contact with civilized people. And it was Captain Lawrence's letter that had brought the Lord of the Jungle to the expedition camp near El Amon, in a small oasis of the great Libyan desert.
Halt! Halt!
Yes, I shall halt, but take that bayonet from my ribs.
We have had much trouble in our camp. We are wary of strangers. What do you want?
This is the camp of Dr. Erickson?
Aiwa, it is.
Then take me to his tent at once, will you?
You are a friend of Moalem Erickson?
I've never met Dr. Erickson, but I have a letter to him from my friend Captain Lawrence. He said it was most important that I come here at once.
Then you are Tarzan?
Yes.
But Dr. Erickson! Dr. Erickson! Moalem! Tarzan is here! The man you wait for has arrived! But Dr. Erickson and his daughter have waited long for your arrival. They will be most happy.
He has come, Ilse. He will make us famous after all these years.
Isn't it wonderful? Had we not met Captain Lawrence, perhaps we might never...
Dr. Erickson, I...
No, don't say a word.
That is right. Just stand there. Let us examine you.
Examine me?
Hush! Not a word.
Father, notice the head form. As perfect as any of the more advanced ethnic types.
And the body development, Ilse. The power and the ruggedness of the Neanderthal man with the refinement of a much later period.
And the total absence of Negroid features, despite his African habitat.
Mali, go into the equipment tent and get a pair of scissors.
Yes, Moalem. I hasten to do your bidding.
A lock of his hair should be examined minutely.
Dr. Erickson,
you see, Tarzan, an examination of the hair texture will be most important in classifying you.
Will one of you please tell me why I'm being examined like some rare animal?
Oh, I am sorry. Perhaps our enthusiasm has made us rude.
But after all, it is not every day in the week that scientists come across an important discovery.
That is right. Why, when Captain Lawrence first spoke of Tarzan of the Apes, we couldn't believe our ears. Imagine the offspring of jungle apes walking erect, learning to speak, adopting many of the...
final proof of Darwin's theory.
Before you increase your hopes and my anger, I might tell you that I am not the offspring of apes.
What?
You see, my parents were marooned on the African coast many years ago, before I was born. They were killed when I was just an infant, and I was adopted by an ape tribe.
Adopted? Why, I was sure.
Yes, the apes raised me. They treated me like a baby of their own, taught me how to fight for survival. I lived as one of them. But I am not really one of them, except in spirit. I'm afraid you can't make me into a specimen for some museum.
I have never been so disappointed in my entire life.
Well, I shall leave now so that the cause of your disappointment is not...
No, Tarzan, don't leave.
Why not?
Because you may yet be more useful to us than a museum specimen.
Oh, in what way?
Our little camp here, meant only for scientific research that can cause harm to no one, has recently become the object of some unexplainable hostility.
With your great strength and jungle cunning, you could help us, perhaps.
Just what is the nature of these hostilities?
Well, when we left Cairo, we had a complement of almost 20 Egyptian diggers, men engaged to help us in our archaeological work.
Excavating to find remnants of early civilizations.
Yes.
But one after another, the men have disappeared, frightened away by some power they refuse to divulge. Only Mauli, the Egyptian you spoke with when you first entered the camp, is left.
Aside from Arnold Brown, father's assistant.
Have you any clue to the disappearance of these men?
There was one note written on ancient parchment and fastened to the outside flap of my tent by a golden pin in the shape of the traditional scarab.
The image of the sacred beetle of Egyptian antiquity.
The note, written in early Egyptian characters, warned us to leave this small oasis at once, or bring down the curse of the pharaohs.
Naturally, the note bore no signature, huh?
Only the symbol of two entwined snakes, their fangs extended menacingly.
You see, Tarzan, we do need help. Please forgive the way we insulted you a few moments ago. Please remain with us.
Will you, Tarzan?
As I have explained, I am not a simian. But I do have the curiosity of the monkey, the ape's enjoyment of combat, and the gorilla's love of violence. I shall remain to fight these mysterious enemies.
In just a moment, we shall return to our exciting story of Tarzan. In equatorial countries, there is little dawn nor dusk. The sun appears and disappears over the horizon quickly. Now night suddenly enveloped the small oasis where the expedition of Dr. Erickson had established headquarters. Outside the tent of the expedition's leader, Maoli, the faithful Egyptian servant, walked sentry duty. And inside the tent, Dr. Erickson, his daughter Ilsa, one of the doctor's young assistants, and Tarzan sat before a well-laden table.
I still can't get used to sitting cross-legged and eating from a table that's practically on the ground.
By the time you've made as many field trips to the Orient as I have, Ilsa, you will be used to many things.
And when you've lived in Egypt as long as I, you will find that the country's eating habits are more civilized than many of its customs.
You've lived here for a long time, Mr. Brown?
I've spent most of my life here. You see, Tarzan, my father was in the consular service, and I came to Egypt with him when I was only a child. Upon his death, I was adopted by an Egyptian family. I was educated in Cairo.
Well, then perhaps you have some explanation to offer concerning the threats and the disappearance of the native workers Dr. Erickson engaged in Cairo.
Well, strangely enough, although I've lived here most of my life, I didn't become interested in Egyptology until very recently.
He is very apt, though. A real addition to our group.
There's one thing I'm sure of, Tarzan. There's something located near this oasis that's important. Something that someone is anxious to keep hidden.
That must be the answer, for no one disturbed us until we reached here. And we were much more vulnerable while we were traveling.
Have you reported these strange occurrences to Captain Lawrence?
This is outside of his jurisdiction, Tarzan. Captain Lawrence has no authority here.
We have written to the gentleman through whom we obtained permission to explore. An extremely intelligent individual by the name of Ismail Farid. We expect some advice from him soon.
I think I will go outside now. I want to watch for any new threat.
Stay here and finish your meal, Tarzan. I've had quite enough to eat. And I'll take a turn around the camp before I retire. I'll let you know if I see anything out of the way.
All right. I'll visit with the Ericksons a little longer before I begin my vigil.
Yes, do that. I'll see you all in the morning. Good night, Tarzan. Dr. Erickson.
Good night.
Ilsa.
Good night.
Tell me about him, Doctor.
About Arnold Brown, the young man who just left?
Yes. How much do you know about him?
Nothing more than he told you. His father was an important diplomat. Arnold's lived here most of his life. He attended school in Cairo. He's recently become interested in Egyptology, the study of Egyptian antiquities.
I guess I was responsible for his employment. He's terribly attractive, isn't he?
Yes, and he wears such interesting jewelry.
Jewelry?
I have never noticed him wearing any jewelry. What are you referring to, Tarzan?
The ring he wears on his little finger.
I've never noticed it.
Nor I.
Well, perhaps he put it on only tonight, as a warning to me.
A ring? As a warning?
Yes. You see, it bears the symbol of the two entwined snakes.
What was that?
It sounded like Maoli.
The cry of death. I've heard it often.
Get out there. Find out what it is.
It's too late to save Molly's life. The two snakes have resorted to murder.
Go into your tent, Ilsa. This is no sight for a woman.
The symbol of the snake. Carved into Maoli's forehead.
But I got here only a second or two after his scream. A moment before the rest of you.
Dr. Erickson, how could anyone have had time to cut that symbol in Maoli's forehead?
Perhaps with an ancient implement of torture, once used by early Egyptian religious fanatics. It is somewhat similar to a branding iron, but with a razor-sharp cutting edge.
I think you showed me one in a museum at home. Mm. It was used on traitors, wasn't it?
On those whom the high priest believed guilty of betraying religious secrets to non-believers or foreigners. But I am unfamiliar with any cult that used this particular symbol.
Perhaps Mr. Brown can explain it.
Me?
That ring you wear on your little finger, it carries the same symbol as that engraved upon Maoli's forehead. Obviously placed there because of his loyalty to Dr. Erickson, a foreigner.
I had almost forgotten the ring. I found it this afternoon in the sand. I put it on my finger because, well, I guess that's a natural place to carry a ring.
Yes?
I headed for Dr. Erickson's tent to show it to him. I thought it might be the first clue to some undiscovered ruins near here.
But you didn't tell me about the ring, Arnold.
When I entered your tent, Tarzan was there. You introduced us, but you didn't explain to me who Tarzan was. I didn't want to tell you about the ring in front of a stranger.
You knew about Tarzan's coming, Arnold?
We told about our conversation with Captain Lawrence concerning Tarzan of the Apes.
Exactly. Lawrence is an Englishman. He made up a ridiculous story about some aboriginal man he wanted you to meet. And then this Tarzan came here. Well, there's little aboriginal about him. It was a very easy thing for the Englishman to get one of his agents into our camp.
Do you hate the English?
I distrust them. Too many of Egypt's treasures are already in English museums.
Perhaps you came with Dr. Erickson to make sure no further treasures would be taken out of the country, huh?
That is the law here. No items of antiquity may now leave Egypt. I am not a policeman to enforce that law.
No, but you could be a member of some ancient cult determined to protect the property of the snake god, lest the government officials be lax.
That's a ridiculous accusation, Tarzan. Isn't it, Father?
Well, I don't know what to think, Ilse. We will give Maui a decent burial, and then we will all retire for the night, taking turns standing guard. Perhaps in the morning these strange occurrences may be examined with calmer eyes.
I'll take the first shift as a sentry.
And I shall retire until it is my turn. But I warn you, Arnold Brown, I always sleep with one eye open.
Maui was buried, and then the camp retired for the night. But despite the melodrama of early evening, the night hours passed without incident. Tarzan, pretending to sleep, peered out through a narrow slit in the flap of his tent. All was peaceful within the confines of the encampment. After 2 hours, Arnold Brown turned over the sentry duty to Tarzan. As night prepared to become morning, it became Arnold Brown's turn again. He wandered toward the edge of the oasis. He passed out of Tarzan's vision, obscured behind scrubby desert growth.
Happened, Tarzan?
I don't know. Brown disappeared behind those bushes over there, and a moment later I heard that scream.
But nothing could have happened to Brown. I'm sure you were right when you suspected him.
No. No, I guess I was wrong. Look.
Arnold Brown. Dead.
What's happened?
I'm sorry, my dear. I wish you hadn't seen him.
The sign of the snakes again.
But why did he come over here? Why did he wander away from his sentry post?
Well, perhaps he heard something and came over to investigate.
I heard nothing, and my hearing is most acute. Whoever killed him must have been lying in wait here, and when his act was done, he must have disappeared as though into a hole in the ground.
Look, the ring is gone from his hand.
If only he'd told us where he'd found it. It must have come from a hidden tomb or ruins near here somewhere.
Then we're going to find it. They're not scaring us away.
You are right, Ilse. If there's something worth discovering here, we are going to remain until we uncover it.
I know little of your science, Doctor, but you can count on my help.
I beg your pardon. What? I think all three of you would be acting more wisely were you to return to your respective homes.
Who are you? Where did you come from?
Are you going to do the honors, Dr. Erickson?
I...
Then permit me to make my own introduction, Tarzan. I am Ismail Farid. I have come here from Cairo to supervise any archaeological work and to protect the treasures of antiquity from foreign hands. In just a moment, the dramatic conclusion of The Curse of the Pharaohs. Objects of antiquity may be taken out of Egypt only with the consent of its government. Indeed, excavation may not even be attempted without governmental approval. Ismail Farid, although not an official of the National Museum, was highly connected, and he was treated as an honored guest. Even the tragic death of Arnold Brown was cast aside in order to take Ismail Farid to the most comfortable tent of the camp, to prepare food for him, to make sure he was comfortable and reasonably contented. And only then did Tarzan and Dr. Erickson head back to the scene of the latest violence so they could prepare Arnold Brown's body for burial.
Well, I am glad we finally persuaded Issel to get some rest. You know, she was getting genuinely fond of Arnold.
Well, he was very much attracted to her. I could tell that much.
You know, Tarzan, I had come to the conclusion that Arnold was involved in these strange happenings. It's too bad it required his death to clear him.
Well, all we can do now is to give him a decent burial.
Yeah, that is all we can do. I hate to go into these bushes and have to gaze on the poor boy again.
Suppose you just start to dig his grave, Dr. Erickson. Yeah. I'll take care of the rest. The jungle has hardened me to gruesome sights.
No, I'll come into the brush and help you. After all, I... Tarzan!
What? It's Marty. It's gone.
Disappeared into thin air. But what possible reason could anyone have for removing it?
I don't know. Dr. Erickson, I do not have your knowledge or education, but many years among jungle people have taught me the ways of voodoo, native superstitions, and primitive ways. The early Egyptians shared many of the customs and beliefs of the jungle people.
What are you getting at?
Not too sure yet. But I want Ilsa and you to go along with a little plan I have.
What sort of a plan?
One that will permit us to investigate this mystery without Mr. Farid's supervision. Will Ilsa and you do as I suggest?
I am sure Ilsa will do anything that may help to solve the mystery, and I certainly will. After all, we have no desire to bring the curse of the pharaohs down upon our heads.
No, I cannot explain the strange disappearance of the body. But of course, Egypt is a land of strange puzzles.
Well, I'm not going to wait for the solution of this one. I'm going to accept Tarzan's offer.
I did not hear of any offer on Tarzan's part.
I volunteered to take Dr. Erickson and Ilsa to Tripoli. They can board a ship there that will take them home.
But Cairo is so much closer. Why
Cairo
not...
Cairo is Egypt. And if I never see this country again, I'll be more than happy. Murders, disappearing bodies, all sorts of strange happenings. There was nothing in my college courses on archaeology that said anything about that.
You are most wise in leaving the land of the pharaohs, Ilsa. And you, Dr. Erickson?
My daughter's life is more important to me than the discovery of some new tomb or ruins. We shall leave as soon as we can pack our supplies.
Of course, without servants, this may take some little time.
Well, since you have decided to abandon any attempts at excavating this territory, there is no need for my presence. I shall leave now.
We bid you speed, Ismail Farid. You both gave excellent performances.
I don't know how I managed mine. Wild horses couldn't drag me away from here.
Farid's obvious relief at the news that we were leaving makes me sure that we're on the track of something important.
Well, we won't find it standing about talking. I have a feeling our friend will turn back long before he gets to Cairo. We better get started.
Tarzan, must we do our digging here, where Arnold was killed? Isn't some other spot just as likely?
Not if my theories are right. But perhaps you might try over by that big rock.
Why? Why Father and I permitted ourselves to be ordered about us. It's more than I can... Father!
Yes, my dear?
Father! Tarzan! Come quickly!
What is it, my dear?
This...
Why, an ivory-handled dagger. Where did you find it?
Almost directly at the base of the rock. He must have been lying here for countless years.
Is it very old, Doctor?
Let me examine it. Ah, yes, yes. A product of one of the very early dynasties. Probably made about 3,000 B.C.
Made almost 5,000 years ago, and it bears little sign of age. Yet it could have been held in someone's hand as recently as the time of Arnold's disappearance.
I don't think we can count on that. You see, Tarzan, it's because of Egypt's unusual climate that so many archaeological finds have been discovered here. Thousands of years have left many items completely unchanged.
Whole cities have been discovered, virtually intact, entirely beneath the sand.
Why, what's the matter, my dear?
Suddenly felt weak. I guess the worry and the excitement.
Oh, you've eaten nothing since last night. Rest for a moment, Ilsa. Lie down.
No, I'll be all right. Just lean back against the rock.
What? The rock! It's swinging open!
You must have accidentally touched some spot that caused it to...
Look. A long corridor leading straight back.
Why?
A long hall. Pure gold. Look, Father.
Why? The characters on the sides of the walls from the very earliest of the dynasties. Perhaps even from a pre-dynasty period.
Advance carefully.
Yeah.
It's more than possible that...
What?
Ilsa! Dr. Erickson!
Yes, Father.
What is it?
A rock swung shut. We may be imprisoned here.
If it is open to let us in, it must open to let us out. We can find out about that later.
You cannot appreciate our feelings, Tarzan. This is the culmination of a lifetime's work. We will get out all right.
If we're lucky enough to find the one spot that yields to a touch, it won't be easy in the dark. Perhaps it may prove impossible.
You are right, of course. For the ancients knew engineering tricks we have not even begun to learn in our present civilization.
But even life is less important than the thrill of such a discovery. We look for a means of escape later. Now we must explore this tomb.
If you want to, Tarzan, you can remain here while Ilse and I search the splendors created by men long since dead.
The native diggers who deserted you were not frightened away by men who died thousands of years ago. Nor did any men of 3000 B.C. kill Muli and Arnold. I shall come with you.
Look at the colors on these wall paintings, Tarzan. Not a sign of deterioration after all these years.
And the magnificence of the vases and the jewelry we found.
Oh, it is amazing.
And we haven't even reached the central room of the tomb yet. It is obvious that the mummies we have discovered are merely those of the wives of the pharaoh who is buried here.
Not even in the tomb of Tutankhamun were such rich treasures buried. He must have been a most important pharaoh.
Wait! This must be the entrance to the central room. The symbol of the king god is over the door.
Look! The sign of the two entwined snakes!
Yes! And the ancient lettering that proclaims this to be the final resting place of Zarides, snake king of the Egyptians.
There! The gem-encrusted coffin in the center of the room. Hurry.
Oh, this discovery will make my name go down with those of Rhine, Mariette, and Petri as one of the great Egyptian archaeologists.
Tarzan, help me raise the lid of the coffin.
Raise it easily. Ilse, your touch opened the tomb. You should have the first look.
All right. I'll stand on this stone step, and then I...
What is it?
Arnold Brown, wrapped like a mummy of antiquity. His clothing and ornaments, those of an ancient pharaoh.
Just someone who looks like him, you...
No. No, it is Arnold.
Oh.
Arnold. The sign of the snakes engraven on his forehead. And the wound is still fresh. Tarzan, what does it all mean?
Quiet. The chanting. Many people are coming.
Where can we hide?
There is no place to hide. Stand behind me. My knife may be of little protection, but they shall have to kill me before they...
Somebody's in our temple!
Infidels are waiting!
So, you did not leave our land. You remained and found the entrance to the tomb of our god.
I warn you, Ismail Farid, my knife will plunge into the first person who attempts to attack us.
There will be no attack. You can do no further damage to us now. Ilse Erickson ended the days of our cult.
I ended the days?
Long have we, the sons of Zarades, kept this tomb inviolate. We have met here, determined to resist the interference of strangers. But now that is all past. This is no longer our meeting place. And you, Dr. Erickson, may claim as many of the treasures here as permitted by our government.
For that I am most thankful, but there is much I do not understand.
Zarades the First was once buried here. And so were his son and his son's son and others in a long and noble line. Other pharaohs succeeded the sons of Zarades to the throne of Egypt. But the Zarades have always been the king gods to some of us, until the death of the last one, last night.
Arnold Brown? Was he the last of the Zarades?
Yes.
Why, I thought he was the son of a foreign diplomat.
He was. His grandfather revolted against the strict rules laid down for our gods. He left the country, but fate sent Arnold's father back as a member of a foreign consular service. It was necessary to kill him to secure Arnold.
It must have been your family that adopted Arnold.
Yes, but along with his royal blood, there flowed the blood of foreign lands. He, too, decided to cast off the responsibilities of a deity. He desired to marry you, Ilse, and leave our land. It was necessary to kill him, to put to rest here the last of the kings of Zarades.
May we leave here now, Ismail Farid?
Yes, go forth and permit us to hold the last of our religious rites. Then we shall turn ourselves over to the authorities. You, Doctor, may announce the finding of another symbol of a world that can never be again.
Yes, Ismail Farid. Many of the things we treasure fade with the passing years. But violence can never halt progress. And killings can never win a battle of the soul. It is a lesson I have learned in the jungle.
In just a moment, a preview of our next exciting story of Tarzan. Unaware of the fierce eyes that watch them from behind every rock and tree, the safari of the American plunges deep into the jungle. And what he cannot see, he refuses to believe. The mysteries of Africa have been highly overrated. But the mysteries and violence become real when he hears the throbbing of the voodoo drums, the chant of the savages, the incantations of the headhunters of Yambisi.
Tarzan, a transcribed creation of the famous Edgar Rice Burroughs, is produced by Walter White, Jr., prepared for radio by Bud Lesser, with original music by Albert Glasser. This is a Commodore production.